Welcome to this weekly audio digest edition of The National, from Monday the 10th to Friday the 14th of June 2019, read by volunteers at Q&A Reviews by Speaking to the Blind at our studios in the Bishop Briggs Media Centre. The headlines in part 1. Employment Tribunal claims rise after abolishing illegal fees.
Scottish Government disappointed after missing emissions trading scheme target.
New MD rebrands utility consultancy Business Cost Consultants.
Letters. Riot 82. Should I buy a licence to view anti-Scottish content?
Scotland's retail sales drop in somewhat bruising figures.
Universal credit blamed for rent areas rise in Scotland.
Alan Smith elected president of key EU Parliament grouping.
Sheriffs should have more sentencing options.
SNB hit out at BBC over move to burden over 75s with TV licence fee. Scottish Government disappointed after missing emissions trading scheme target.
Scottish Autism announces partnership with Scottish Women Autism Network.
Two oil tankers targeted an attack in the Gulf of Oman.
Plan to let Scott councils operate bus services is backed by MSPs.
Johnson defends record in office at Tory leadership contest launch.
New women remains found in search of Emma Fold.
MSPs reject green proposals to lower speed limit from 30 miles per hour to 20 miles per hour.
The EU election result showed we here will have no truck with Brexit or a Brexit party.
Three Tory candidates eliminated from leadership race.
Davidson rewrites history on IndyWeb 2 with U-turn on mandate.
SNP slams BBC move to scrap licence fee for 3.7 million pensioners.
Free public transport is the answer to several problems.
The National News, recorded on the 10th of June 2019. Employment Tribunal claims rise after abolishing illegal fees, by journalist Martin Hannan. As was predicted when the UK Supreme Court declared the UK government's fees for employment tribunals illegal, the number of claims has soared. Employment law specialist Law at Work, LAW, who have offices in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Aberdeen and Inverness, have recorded a sharp increase in employment claims since fees were abolished in July 2017. The firm saw a 25% rise in claims in 2018 compared to the previous year when fees were overturned, and an increase of 120% compared with 2014, the first full year during which fees were paid. LAW say 2019 is likely to show a further rise, with the firm estimating it will increase claims by 17% following an upsurge in tribunals in the first 4 months of the year. Under the fee system, claimants were forced to spend up to £1,200 to fund cases of unfair dismissal, discrimination and equal pay. The growth recorded by LAW reflects the increase in claims received by the Employment Tribunal. In 2018, there were 41,212 claims received, a rise of 65.5% from the previous year, when the fees were abolished halfway through the year. Recent research shows a significant rise in disability discrimination claims, which have grown 8 times faster than other tribunal claims, with 6,550 recorded across Britain in 2018, a 37% increase compared to the previous year. According to Health and Safety Executive figures, there were 26.8 million days lost through work-related ill health in 2017-18, with work-related stress or anxiety accounting for over half of these absences. Among those who took days off, the longest absences were of those suffering stress, depression and anxiety, 26 days, followed by general ill health cases, 20 days. Donald McKinnon, Director of Legal Services at LAW, said, "It was inevitable that there would be an upsurge in the number of employment claims pursued following the abolition of fees, and the increased number of cases we have progressed is in line with the overall trend." What is of particular interest is the type of claims that are now being brought forward. Since 2014, disability discrimination claims have grown annually. As awareness of how mental health issues impact on the workplace, there appears to have been an increase in numbers of workers progressing disability discrimination claims relating to stress. High levels of stress are linked to anxiety and depression and can have a significant impact on workplace performance. Productivity can decline and absences rise. Employers should consult their advisors on best working practices. By journalist Martin Hannan.
The National, 12th of June 2019. Scottish Government disappointed after missing emissions trading scheme target. Figures published yesterday show that while total emissions fell by 3.3% in 2017, for countries' participation in a EU scheme that allows power stations and industrial plants to effectively trade their greenhouse gases, meant that adjusted emissions, those that are used for setting targets, increased by 3.7%. That means Scotland has reduced its emissions by 39.1% since 1990, but source emissions, which doesn't include the horse trading of the Emissions Trading Scheme, ETS, are down 46.8%. The most recent fall was attributed to the closure of Longannet Power Station in 2016, as well as decrease in the use of fossil fuels in the chemical industry. However, emissions from transport, like road traffic and aviation, actually increased. Environment Secretary Rosanna Cunningham said actual emissions, which are what really matters for tackling climate change, reduced by 3.3% between 2016 and 2017. That is an encouraging progress, particularly given the statistics cover a period prior to the current climate change plan and does not reflect many of the initiatives that have launched or embedded that in the last 2 years. However, it is of course disappointing that the 2017 target has not been met and that greenhouse gas emissions appear to have increased because of technical adjustment made to the figures relating to the EU emissions trading system. Scotland already has the most ambitious agenda in the UK for decarbonating transport, including our commitment to phase out the need for new petrol and diesel cars by 2032.
The National News, recorded on the 12th of June 2019. New MD rebrands utility consultancy Business Cost Consultants by Emma O'Toole. A Scottish utility consultancy, with plans to double its headcount within the next 3 years, has undertaken a bold rebrand after appointing a new managing director. Glasgow-based Business Cost Consultants, which helps companies to manage their utility services, procurement, contracts and compliance procedure, has overhauled its identity to Boxfish, named after one of the ocean's most energy-efficient creatures, following an investment of more than £150,000 in new systems, servers, IT equipment, staff training and distinctive branding. Under new leadership, the company plans to double its headcount from 18 to 36, working with clients to make their businesses more efficient, sustainable and profitable by streamlining utilities. The company's founder, Donald McLean, who set up the business in 1994, has stepped into the role of chairman, with former operations director, Steve De La Rosa, taking over as managing director. De La Rosa, an experienced procurement professional, has previously held roles in the Department for International Development, Pelamis Wave Power, and the Student Loans Company, where he led multi-million pound procurement projects. Since his appointment, Boxfish has celebrated a number of notable client wins, including major contracts and with outdoor firms Trespass and international property developer Ballymore. De La Rosa said, "It's a very exciting time for us as we embark on ambitious plans to grow the company after unveiling our vibrant rebrand, a new energetic identity which elevates our forward-thinking vision, market-leading service and established industry reputation. Our clients are at the centre of everything we do. At its core, Boxfish is all about helping the companies we work with to save time and money, through modern utility management, totally independent advice and expertise developed over 25 years. We operate in an extremely competitive industry, but our programme of continuous staff training and system modernisation sets us apart and propels our growth, aligning with our plans to double our staff numbers by 2022. By Emma O'Toole.
The National, 12th of June 2019. Letters. Riot 82. Should I buy a licence to view anti-Scottish content? I watch the BBC only to keep track of all the lies they tell, but would miss Channel 4 News and a few other programmes if I had to stop watching TV altogether. On the other hand, I can just keep on watching and see if they prosecute me. I would not go quietly. Written by Anne Rayner.
The National News, recorded on the 12th of June 2019. Scotland's retail sales drop in somewhat bruising figures by Emma O'Toole. Retail sales in Scotland dropped last month in what have been described as somewhat bruising figures. Scottish sales for May 2019 decreased 3.4% on the same month last year, since they had increased by 1.8%, according to the monthly SRC KPMG monitor. Total sales decreased by 3.1%, compared with a 2.6% increase in May 2018, with total food sales increasing by 0.5% after a 4.2% rise last year. However, there was also a 6.1% drop in non-food sales, with clothing and footwear recording its steepest ever monthly decline. David Lonsdale, Scottish Retail Consortium SRC Director, said these are somewhat bruising figures, with retail sales having shriveled last month by almost 4% once shop price inflation is taken into account. Shoppers clearly kept a firm grip on purse strings and wallets, unsurprising against the backdrop of rising household costs and political and economic uncertainty. Grocery sales ran out of puff, recording their weakest performance in 2.5 years, and well below the 3- and 12-month averages. At the more discretionary end of retail spending, non-food purchases fared poorly, especially clothing and footwear, which recorded its steepest ever monthly decline. Larger and outdoor items such as garden furniture also struggled. Fewer high-profile sporting events this year compared to last contributed to a challenging picture, with sales of mobile phones and cough and cold medicines amongst a few bright spots. Retailers are striving to reinvent themselves and respond positively to shifting shopping habits. However, that is all the more challenging against a backdrop in which customer demand is weak and a seemingly relentless rise in tax and regulatory burdens. With an adjustment for the estimated online sales effect, total non-food sales were down by 5.6%, the worst decline since recording such a figure began in January 1999. Paul Martin, UK head of retail at KPMG, said the figures confirm the scale of the challenges facing retailers throughout Scotland. He added, while the industry continues to outperform the rest of the UK, there's a clear downward trend across most major categories, including static growth in typically resilient food sales, and the worst performance for non-food retailers since our records began in January 1999. Ongoing economic and political uncertainty, combined with shifting consumer behaviour, are creating a volatile landscape for Scotland's retail sector, with leading brands facing a struggle for survival. Our insight suggests it could be some time before we see signs of recovery. The news follows a Visa study that found confidence in Scotland's high street has increased, with 85% of small high street businesses surveyed optimistic about the future of their local high streets, up from 39% 12 months ago. Despite the recent high-profile retail chain closures, the research shows an encouraging outlook for the future of high streets in Scotland, with 43% of small high street businesses surveyed planning to open another high street store over the next 12 months. By Emma O'Toole.
The National, 12th of June 2019. Universal credit blamed for rent arrears rise in Scotland. A report from Holyrood Social Security Committee said it was alarmed by the evidence and rise in arrears. The committee launched an inquiry early this year to explore how Social Security support for housing costs have been impacted by welfare reform, with a particular focus on housing allowance and universal credit, UC. A submission by Citizens Advice Scotland, CAS, said to the committee that in the last 18 months, their client rent arrears issues was mostly caused by moving to UC. The committee noted evidence from the CAB network and from other stakeholders which suggested rent arrears are more common among tenants receiving UC. Convention of Scottish Local Authorities, COSLA, figures showed mainstream rent arrears for councils East Lothian, Highland, Eastern Bartonshire and Midlothian increased by a total of 26% in the 2 years from March 31st, 2016. COSLA said this could not be attributed solely to UC, but generally there are sharp increases when an area goes onto full service. Committee convener and SNP MSP Bob Doris said a rapid increase in rent arrears since the introduction of universal credit is unacceptable, We want to see the housing element universal credit paid directly to landlords, and a DWP must review the minimum 5-week rate for new UC claimants.
The National Politics, recorded on the 12th of June 2019. Alan Smith elected president of key EU Parliament grouping from the National News Desk. Alan Smith has been elected president of a key group in the European Parliament, giving the SNP unprecedented influence over the shape of the EU. The MEP has been chosen as president of the European Free Alliance, EFA group, succeeding Catalan MEP Josep Maria Terracabras, who stood down. Smith's decision to stand for the post was exclusively revealed by The National last week. The Greens/EFA group is estimated to have 75 MEPs in the new parliament, making it the fourth largest group. As well as his role as president of the EFA, Smith will be first vice president of the Greens/EFA group, which holds the balance of power in the parliament after a 40-year-old alliance between the centre-right European People's Party and Socialists and Democrats lost its majority in the elections. Smith paid tribute to his predecessor, saying, "I'm honoured to have this vote of confidence from my colleagues, particularly during such an interesting political time." The Greens/EFA group have been a consistent voice for good in the European Parliament, and we've got an exciting future ahead of us. By electing a Scot from an unashamedly pro-Remain party as EFA president, I hope this shows that Scotland not only wants to play our part in contributing to this family of nations, but is also valued by the EU27. From the National News Desk.
The National, 11th of June 2019. Sheriffs should have more sentencing options. Letters. Now in some better future, I would like to see a whole range of alternatives to prison for many criminals, both women and men. Done properly, this would be cheaper. It may be even expensive, but it would have better outcomes. However, we need to have that better system available before people can be put through it. The donations which were stolen were no doubt nearly all small donations, many made by people who could scarcely afford them. This wasn't redstone money from the rich to the poor, Robin Hood style. The betrayal of wars and the independence movement is bad enough, but taking money from a food bank and a small charity is even worse. Written by David Hanson.
The National Politics, recorded on the 12th of June 2019. SNP hit out at BBC over move to burden over 75s with TV licence fee. By Laura Beveridge. The SNP have slammed the Tories for breaking yet another election promise, as it was revealed that the BBC will end blanket free TV licences for over 75s. Up to 3.7 million pensioners who currently receive a free TV licence will have to pay, according to an announcement from the broadcaster. It said free TV licences will only be available to households with one person aged over 75 who receives pension credit, in a move that contradicts the 2017 Tory manifesto. The party had promised to maintain pensioner benefits, including free bus passes, eye tests, prescriptions and TV licences for the duration of this parliament. The BBC explained in a tweet from June 2020, any household with someone aged over 75 who receives pension credit will be eligible for a free TV licence funded by the BBC. This means those least able to pay will still get a free licence. Viewers and listeners will still receive the best programmes and services that the BBC can provide. In light of the breaking news, the SNP, which has consistently called on the UK to fund a TV licence for over 75s, committed to raise the issue at the earliest opportunity in the House of Commons. The SNP spokesperson on digital culture, media and sport, Hannah Bardell, MP, urged the UK government to ensure the free TV licence is fully funded and can continue to benefit around 4.5 million households across Scotland and the UK. Bardell said, "After years of Tory austerity and the deep financial uncertainty of Brexit, the last thing our older people need is the extra burden of £154.50 to their household bills." The UK government must U-turn on their broken manifesto promise and fully fund the TV licence for our older people. The corporation's Director-General, Tony Hall, defended the move. He said that this decision is fairest for the poorest pensioners, it protects those most in need, and importantly, it is not the BBC making that judgment about poverty. It is the government who sets and controls that measure. BBC Chairman Sir David Clement also jumped to the broadcaster's defence. He added, linking a free licence for over 75s to pension credit was the leading reform option. It protects the poorest over 75s, while protecting the services that they and the audiences love. It is the fairest and best outcome. By Laura Beveridge. The National News, recorded on the 12th of June, 2019. Scottish Government Disappointed After Missing Emissions Trading Scheme Target, by journalist Andrew Learmonth. Scottish ministers say they're disappointed to have missed their annual climate emissions target. Figures published yesterday showed that while total emissions fell by 3.3% in 2017, the country's participation in an EU scheme that allows power stations and industrial plants to effectively trade their greenhouse gases meant that adjusted emissions, those that are used for setting targets, increased by 3.7%. That means Scotland has reduced its emissions by 39.1% since 1990, but source emissions, which doesn't include the horse trading of the Emissions Trading Scheme, ETS, are down 46.8%. The most recent fall was attributed to the closure of Longannet Power Station in 2016, as well as a decrease in the use of fossil fuels in the chemical industry. However, emissions from transport like road traffic and aviation actually increased. Environment Secretary Rosanna Cunningham said actual emissions, which are what really matter for tackling climate change, reduced by 3.3% between 2016 and 2017. That is encouraging progress, particularly given the statistics cover a period prior to the current climate change plan and do not reflect many of the initiatives that have launched or embedded that in the last 2 years. However, it is of course disappointing that the 2017 target has not been met, and that greenhouse gas emissions appear to have increased because of the technical adjustment made to the figures relating to the EU emissions trading system. Scotland already has the most ambitious agenda in the UK for decarbonising transport, including our commitment to phase out the need for new petrol and diesel cars by 2032. We have doubled our active travel budget, encouraging more people to walk and cycle. Low-emission zones will be in place in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Dundee and Aberdeen by the end of 2020. Caroline Rance from Stop Climate Chaos Scotland, SCCS, said the government needed to do more. Scientists have told us that we need to move faster, and in April the First Minister declared a climate emergency. This means acting with even greater urgency to cut emissions now and over the next decade. MSPs must ensure that the new climate change bill, which they will be voting on in Parliament next week, includes tougher climate targets and stronger policies to slash emissions. Action is especially needed in transport, which remains Scotland's largest emitter, and how we heat our homes and how we grow our food. Changes in these sectors will also improve health, reduce pollution and tackle fuel poverty. Green MSP Mark Ruskell said ministers had much work to do. A climate emergency has been declared, and the First Minister has said that everything is up for review, but we need this review to be brought forward as soon as possible so that urgent action is taken to transition to a low-carbon economy, particularly in transport, where emissions continue to increase. By journalist Andrew Learmonth.
The National, 13th of June 2019. Scottish Autism announces partnership with Scottish Women Autism Network. Scottish Autism will help promote the work of SWAN, Scottish Women Autism Network, and has appointed its founder, Dr. Katrina Stewart, on a 3-year secondment. Launched by Stewart in 2012, SWAN has focused on providing peer support for autistic women and girls by providing a national network across Scotland. The organisation initially teamed up with Scottish Autism in 2015 to create the Women and Girls Right Click Online programme, which was supported by the Scottish Government funding. SWAN is currently running a peer mentoring programme under our wing in partnership with Scottish Autism and Scottish Austerity. The project includes a programme of training and monitoring skills and expanded learning. Formal tutorials have been enhanced by outdoor woodland sessions covering a wide variety of activities, including nature awareness team, building and leadership skills, as well as practical sessions on building a shelter and setting a campfire. The programme is designed to build on a sense of identity and improve confidence. The Partnership of Scots Autism will provide a platform and additional resources to further expand Swan's reach. Stewart said, since launching in 2012, we have developed a positive and increasingly productive relationship with Scottish Autism. This new partnership will further enable Swan to support more autistic women and girls as we grow our network across Scotland. The focus of my 3-year secondment is to extend our research to the more remote parts of the nation and to provide more peer support for autistic women and girls in socially deprived communities and to those within minority ethnic groups. Scottish Autism Deputy CEO Charlene Tate said as a charity committed to enabling autistic people to lead happily, healthy and fulfilling lives, we share close alignment with Swan and its work to enhance the lives of autistic women and girls. We have already established a highly valued relationship with Katrina from her immense contribution in helping to develop a Women and Girls Right Click programme. We have already established a highly valued relationship with Katrina for her immense contribution in helping to develop a Women and Girls Right Click programme and in her current role as Autism Advisor with Scottish Autism.
That's the end of part one. After the break, we'll be back with more great articles from The National. If you are blind or partially sighted, or know somebody who is, they may be eligible to receive a BWBF Sonata Plus internet radio, where our daily podcasts are available. To qualify for a free permanent loan from BWBF, you need to be resident in the UK, registered blind or partially sighted, over the age of 8, and in receipt of a means-tested benefit, or have a parent or guardian in receipt if you are under 18. If you think you qualify, you can find your local agent at www.blind.org.uk, and remember, when setting up the player, ask for the Q&A review channels. Now, back to the main programme. Remember, this weekly digest programme is just a selection of what we produce. You can access more daily content online for free at qandreview.com/freepodcasts for free daily podcasts of the Herald Scotland and Evening Times and weekly digests of The National and Inside Soap magazine. Alternatively, you can access all of these services via a BWBF Sonata Plus internet radio player. Now, back to the main programme. Visually impaired people are being invited to see if they are eligible for a free, specially adapted radio from a charity. The British Wireless for the Blind Fund, BWBF, provides the equipment to those with sight loss around the UK who meet its criteria. Radio is a lifeline to those who are blind and partially sighted, providing companionship and helping them to keep in touch with what's going on in the world, as well as in the local community. BWBF offers equipment free of charge to those who have sight loss and are in receipt of a means-tested benefit. BWBF is launching its Reaching Out campaign to try and increase awareness about their equipment and help more people who are blind and partially sighted. Our regional development manager, Sophie Weldon, said, "Our radios are designed so that a person with sight loss can use them easily and independently. All equipment is delivered to the home by a volunteer who sets it all up and provides support in using it. We offer a range of equipment, digital radios, CD players, memory stick players, internet radio, and even a specially designed app. Our radios are vital to someone who cannot see. They provide news, information and entertainment, but also more importantly, companionship and a friendly service. If you or someone you know is interested in a BWBF radio, please contact Sophie Weldon at sophie@blind.org.uk. That is sophie@blind.org.uk or phone 01283 790 208. That's 01283 790 208 or on 07540 724 063. That is 07540 724 063. To find out more about the British Wireless for the Blind Fund, follow us on Twitter at British Wireless, like us on Facebook, or go to blind.org.uk. Now, back to the main programme. Q and Review Print Speaking to the Blind are a charity based in Bishop Briggs. We're currently looking to recruit volunteer access to audio ambassadors in Eastern Bartonshire to place leaflets and business cards at businesses, shops and amenities in the area, and to show the public how to listen to daily and weekly online articles from the Herald Scotland, Evening Times, The National and Inside Soap magazine for free. If you would like to volunteer and become an access to audio ambassador, please contact Michael Rankin on 0141 772 3976 or email aaatl@qandreview.com. That's aaatl@qandreview.com. In addition, we are also recruiting for volunteer readers and technicians. If you're interested in reading or technically supporting a recording team, please contact us on 0141 772 3976 or email information@qandreview.com. Details of all of our volunteering opportunities are available on our website at qandreview.com. Thank you. Now, back to the main programme. Welcome back. The headlines in part 2.
The National News. Recorded on the 13th of June 2019. Two oil tankers targeted an attack in the Gulf of Oman. From the National News Desk. Two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman, near the strategic Strait of Hormuz, have reportedly been attacked, the US Navy said, with one adrift and on fire amid heightened tensions between Washington and Tehran. Benchmark Brent crude oil spiked 4% in trading following the reported attack to more than $62 a barrel, according to early market figures. The latest incident comes after the US alleged that Iran used mines to attack four oil tankers off the nearby Emirati port of Fujairah last month. Iran has denied being involved, but it comes as Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen have also launched missile and drone attacks on Saudi Arabia. Commander Joshua Frey, a Fifth Fleet spokesman, said the US Navy was assisting the two vessels. He did not say how the ships were attacked or who was suspected of being behind the assault. Drive Global, a maritime intelligence firm, preliminarily identified one of the vessels involved as the MT Front Altair, a Marshall Islands-flagged crude oil tanker. The vessel was on fire and adrift, Drive added. Iranian State Television's website, citing the pro-Iran Lebanese satellite news channel Al Mayadeen, said two oil tankers had been targeted in the Gulf of Oman. It offered no evidence to support the claim. The United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operations, a maritime safety group run by the British Navy, first put out the alert early on Thursday, giving coordinates for the incident some 45 kilometres, 25 miles, off the Iranian coastline. The timing of Thursday's reported attack was especially sensitive as Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was visiting Iran on a high-stakes diplomacy mission. On Wednesday, after talks with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, Abe warned that any accidental conflict that could be sparked amid the heightened US-Iran tensions must be avoided. His message came just hours after Yemen's Iranian-backed Houthi rebels attacked a Saudi airport, striking the arrivals hall before dawn and wounding 26 people. Abe met with Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, on Thursday, the second and final day of his visit. Meanwhile, in Tokyo, Japan's chief cabinet secretary, Yoshihide Suga, a top government spokesman, told reporters that Abe's trip was intended to help de-escalate tensions in the Middle East, but not specifically mediate between Tehran and Washington. His remarks were apparently meant to downplay and lower expectations amid uncertain prospects for Abe's mission. Tensions have escalated in the Middle East as Iran appears poised to break the 2015 nuclear deal with world powers, an accord that the Trump administration pulled out of last year. From the National News Desk.
The National, 13th of June 2019. Plan to let Scott councils operate bus services is backed by MSPs. Amendments to the Transport Scotland Bill, a stage 2, were passed at the Scottish Parliament Rural Economy and Connectivity Committee, paving the way for the move. The first amendment, tabled by Labour, would allow every council in Scotland to run bus services, while the second, by the Scottish Government, would allow councils to set up arm's-length bus companies. Scottish Green MSP John Finney, a member of the committee, said, "I'm delighted we finally ditched Thatcher's ridiculous bus laws. Empowering councils to run their own services is a significant step, which I believe will lead to better services of bus users across the country. 3/4 of public transport journeys are made by bus, yet the number of journeys have been falling year on year as services were reduced and routes slashed. Over the past year, My Better Buses campaign have collected testimony from hundreds of bus users across the country who are crying out for cleaner, affordable and more reliable services. Today I believe we're taking a step forward to deliver that." Friends of the Earth Scotland campaigner Gavin Thompson said this is a great step forward to public transport in Scotland. "Private bus operators have failed in many areas of the country, leaving us with declining bus passenger numbers, ever-increasing fares, and a fragmented network that serves company greed rather than community needs. Giving councils the power to run their own buses allows us to reimagine what our public transport should look like." Ellie Harrison of Get Glasgow Moving campaign said this is a huge chance to get the public transport system that passengers want. "A publicly owned bus company for Glasgow could start taking over routes one by one and use profits from busy routes to reinstate essential bus services axed by First and Stagecoach. Buses are vital public services which provide both social and environmental goods. They are not market and should not compete with trains, subways and trams or other forms of sustainable transport. These new powers are fantastic and now we need the investment to follow that would provide a comprehensive integrated network so that everyone can get where they need to be easily and cheaply and with the lowest environmental impact." A Scottish Government spokeswoman said the Scottish Government amendment will allow local transport authorities to set up companies which would operate in a similar manner to Lothian buses, providing local services within a commercial market. "Transparency will be key, with local transport authority companies operating in the same way as any other commercial bus operators, and subject to all the usual registration and licensing requirements."
The National Politics. Recorded on the 13th of June, 2019, Johnson defends record in office at Tory leadership contest launch. By Laura Webster. Boris Johnson was forced to fend off a series of reporters' questions about his character and record in office at his official Tory leadership contest campaign launch yesterday. The former Foreign Secretary acknowledged his use of language can result in some a plaster coming off the ceiling, but ultimately defended his description of burqa-wearing Muslim women as letterboxes. When challenged on the comments made in a Telegraph column last year, Johnson said, "I want to make a general point about the way I do things and the language I use. Occasionally, some plaster comes off the ceiling as a result of a phrase I may have used, or the way that phrase has been wrenched out of context by those who wish for reasons of their own to caricature. But I think it's vital for us as politicians to remember that one of the reasons that the public feels alienated now from us all as a breed is because too often they feel that we are muffling and veiling our language, not speaking as we find, covering everything up in bureaucratic platitudes when what they want to hear is what we genuinely think." Johnson also used the campaign launch to defend the stop and search policy in place during his tenure as London Mayor. He said the policy was an example of his sustainability to be the next Prime Minister. He continued, "It was terrible. We had kids losing their lives in our city at a rate of 28 to 30 a year. Teenagers were being stabbed to death in London. We had to take some very tough decisions." He added, "I believe frankly there is nothing kinder or more loving than you can do if you see a young kid coming down the street who may be carrying a knife, and to ask him to turn out, or her, almost invariably him, to turn out his pockets and produce that knife. That is not discriminatory, that is a kind, compassionate, loving thing to do, and it worked." While Johnson spoke, Labour MP David Lammy took to Twitter to slam the former Foreign Secretary's record. He posted, "Boris Johnson says with a straight face that he will unite this country and unite this society. The same man who described black people as pickaninnies, mocked Muslim women as bank robbers, and peddled lies throughout the referendum, Britain deserves so much better than this. But the Tory MP didn't just face criticism on social media. Some pro-Remain figures, close to his campaign launch, made their views on the Brexiteer clear. Shortly after Johnson began speaking, heckling from the street outside the venue was audible in the room. Cries of bollocks to Boris and no to Brexit could be heard during the launch speech. Johnson's address is thought to be the second major public speech he has given this year. Instead of public appearances, the MP often uses his regular columns in the Telegraph to make his points. He is expected to be paid £22,917 a month between July 2018 and July this year for the articles. By Laura Webster.
The National, 13th of June 2019. Human remains found in search of Emma Fold. The 39-year-old was last seen on April 28th at Fairfield Park in Moncton, South Ayrshire. Police searches have been focused around Bar Hill, particularly along the A714 between Girvan and Newton Stewart. Remains were found during searches of Galloway Forest, an area of woodland in Dumfries and Galloway. Miss Ford's family have been made aware. A spokeswoman said on Wednesday, June 12th, human remains were discovered in Galloway Forest area. The family of Emma Folds have been made aware and police inquiries are continuing ongoing.
The National. Politics. Recorded on the 14th of June, 2019. MSPs reject Green proposals to lower speed limit from 30 miles per hour to 20 miles per hour. By Emma O'Toole. MSPs have rejected proposals to reduce the speed limit on restricted roads in Scotland from 30 miles per hour to 20 miles per hour. A bill, which aimed to set a default limit of 20 miles per hour, put forward by Scottish Greens MSP Mark Ruskell, was voted down by 26-83, with four abstentions at Holyrood yesterday. Ruskell had warned that keeping the limit at 30 miles per hour would continue to cause death and injury, as he urged MSPs to back the proposals. We know that the current blanket 30 miles per hour limit will continue to kill, to maim and to destroy lives. And that's a fact that every MSP must think on when they choose which way to vote on this bill, he said. If this government wants Scotland to be the best place for children to grow up, then prove it. Make their streets safer places to play, walk and cycle. The bill has been under consideration by the Scottish Parliament's Rural Economy and Connectivity Committee. However, in its report, the committee concluded that although it approved of the general aims of the bill, it could not recommend a one-size-fits-all policy for lowering speed limits. Transport Secretary Michael Matheson told the MSPs that the Scottish Government is supportive of its efforts to create safer roads, but said, "I remain convinced that local authorities are best placed to make local decisions based on their local knowledge and evidence on where 20 mile per hour speed limits should be implemented." By Emma O'Toole.
The National, 11th of June 2019. The EU election result showed we here will have no truck with Brexit or a Brexit party. If ever there should be a jolt to Scots who are blinded by better together with lies and vows about a precious union, then look now at the portents waiting to erupt on the Westminster scene, as the Tories hopeful now try to outdo the Brexit party. The Tories got 46% of the vote in 2017 and 21% in the by-election. For Labour, it was respectively 48% and 31% and the Brexit Party 29%. All chaos down south. The Tory panic had begun before the result was sworn. Dominic Raab was boasting he would be resolute and would prorogue Parliament so that it would still not sit until October 31st, hence no deal. The leader of the House was insisting that the new Tory leader would fix it so the Parliament would be in recess when a new party leader was elected to avoid an immediate vote on no confidence. A foretaste of an assault on democracy. Written by John Edgar.
The National. Thursday, the 13th of June, 2019. News. Three Tory candidates eliminated from leadership race. By Stephen Patton, online content editor. Three Tory candidates have been eliminated in the first round of voting in the race to 10 Downing Street. Andrea Leadsom, Esther McVeigh and Mark Harper are the first Tory MPs to exit the contest. McVeigh, Leadsom and Harper got only 9, 11 and 10 votes respectively. However, candidates need to receive 5% or 16 votes in order to progress to the next round. 313 votes were cast in the ballot, with Boris Johnson receiving 114 votes, greatly outstripping any other candidate. Seven MPs will now be moving on to the next round, though no woman will be moving on to the next round. The final vote tally was as follows. Boris Johnson, 114. Jeremy Hunt, 43. Michael Gove, 37. Dominic Raab, 27. Sanjeet Javid, 23. Matt Hancock, 20. Rory Stewart, 19. Andrea Leadsom, 11. Mark Harper, 10. And Esther McVeigh, 9. The contest to succeed Theresa May as the UK's next Prime Minister has already been branded as a horror show by Scotland's First Minister. Nicola Sturgeon spoke out after frontrunner Boris Johnson unveiled a plan to give a massive income tax to higher earners south of the border. The former Foreign Secretary wants to increase the threshold at which people in the rest of the UK start paying income tax at 40p from £50,000 to £80,000. The change would not apply in Scotland as the setting of income tax is now devolved to Holyrood ministers. But it would be part funded by increasing employee national insurance payments, which Westminster has sole control over. With this rise applying across the UK, SNP MSP Angela Constance said, "Scottish taxpayers now face the prospect of paying for a tax cut for the likes of Boris Johnson and his cronies." She added, "That would be completely indefensible and is only likely to see a further rise in support for independence, which would give Scotland a full power over tax." This article was written by Stephen Patton, online content editor.
The National, 13th of June, 2019. Davidson rewrites history on IndyWeb 2 with U-turn on mandate. The Scottish Conservative leader made remarks during a visit to London to help launch a leadership campaign of Home Secretary Sajid Javid. The Scottish Tory leader has previously insisted that under no circumstances would UK government grant a Section 30 order to hold a second referendum. The SNP do not have an overall majority in the Scottish Parliament, but with the Greens included, pro-independence parties could pass legalisation for a new vote. Davidson appeared to insist last night that would not be enough. She told the BBC if she, Nicola Sturgeon, puts it in a manifesto that she's going to hold another referendum and she wins a majority outright, then she can negotiate with the UK government in the same way as happened last time. But she doesn't get to just in the middle of Parliament, where she lost her majority, gets to stick her hand up and say, "I'm going to rerun this referendum again and again until I get the result I want." Last night's embarrassing footage emerged on social media, which showed Davidson articulating a very different view in a widely shared BBC Scotland clip from a broadcaster's 2011 election night coverage. Davidson says, "You don't get a referendum for free, you have to earn it." So for Greens and the SNP and the SSP, or any of your party who have expressed an interest in independence, get over the line, can make a coalition, can make a majority, can get the votes in a parliament, then they'll vote for a referendum. She adds that's what democracy is all about. SNP debut Keith Brown tweeted in response, "As ever, this directly contradicts R. Davidson's previous statement. The majority of coalition of voters in the Scottish Parliament was sufficient, but constituency. More worrying are her efforts to get a Parliament. She is not in the undermine one she is meant to represent." Davidson also used her introduction to Javid's leadership bid to launch a bitter attack on the SNP, an independent movement in Scotland, describing them as ugly, diverse and dangerous. If the Conservatives are going to keep Jeremy Corbyn out of Number 10 and help keep a union together, we must build an electoral coalition of people who have stopped listening to us, he said. Someone who speaks to their concerns, someone who is able to tell the story of our country, or all of our country, someone who understands and can bring the nations together and give everyone Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland greater reasons to have pride in our story. And she went on, I have seen the consequences of nationalism in Scotland, where nationalism has replaced patriotism, and it is ugly and diverse and it is dangerous. Pete Wishart, the SNP and frontbencher, hit back, saying Davidson's attack was appalling and a deliberate misrepresentation of the SNP and Yes Movement. Norton deferred to his previous insistence that he would not allow a new independence vote if he became Prime Minister, Wishart said, what is dangerous is to continually say no to the Norton deferred to his previous instance that he would not allow a new independence vote if he became Prime Minister. Wishart said, what is dangerous to be continually saying no to the democratic wishes of the Scottish people? That is a dangerous agenda to put forward from someone who claims to be a unity candidate. The SNP and independence movement is progressive and outward-looking. The core of our debate is about civic nationalism, inclusion and consensus. This is appalling attack. During her introduction for David's leadership bid, Davidson heaped praise on what was said, where David's ideas are restless energy, and said he had character in spades. In his speech, David has turned phrase Davidson's leadership of the Scottish Tories, saying he had made voters in Scotland look at our party again. He added, Ruth Davidson brought the change, and with her she brought huge gains. Thanks to Ruth and her team, we are winning again. I am so proud to have Ruth on Team Search. As here to change, she is brought to Holyrood, and I'll bring to Westminster. Ahead of David's leadership campaign launch, Nicola Sturgeon slammed Davidson for supporting David's branding. Ahead of David's leadership campaign, Nicola Sturgeon slammed Davidson for supporting David, bringing out of touch with most Scots. The First Minister said David's readiness to accept a no-deal Brexit was a concern and compared Davidson's treatment support for Remain during a keynote campaign during the 2016 referendum at Wembley. Ruth Davidson is supporting a candidate who says he favours a catastrophic no deal over Brexit at all. What a turnaround from a great reminder of Wembley Stadium. And hard to imagine a position more out of touch with the vast majority in Scotland, she wrote on Twitter.
The National, Thursday the 13th of June, 2019. News. SNP slams BBC move to scrap licence fee for 3.7 million pensioners. By the National News Desk. Stripping pensioners of free TV licences is unacceptable and will create difficult choices about why they can afford, Scotland's Minister for Old People has warned. In a letter to the UK Culture Secretary, Jeremy Wright, Christina McKelvey argued that many vulnerable pensioners will be forced to choose whether or not to heat their home. Free licences will be restricted to over 75 who claim pension to credit from June 1, 2020. Approximately 1.5 million households will be eligible for a free TV licence under the new scheme, while an estimated 3.7 million pensioners will lose out. Expressing her deep concern about the plans, McKelvey wrote, "Introducing a means-tested waiver based on pension credit will fail to help many vulnerable people across Scotland. In addition, the means-tested approach will still cost the BBC around £250 million by 2021 and 2022, money which should be spent on developing new programmes and supporting our creative economy. We know that older people can be at greater risk of social isolation and loneliness, and access to television may be one way in which they can maintain a connection to what is going on around them." McKelvey explained how the number of Scots aged 75 and over have been the fastest growing section of society in the last two decades, adding the decision is likely to have a negative impact on Scottish Government policies to tackle loneliness, and will also force the most vulnerable older people to make difficult choices about what they can afford. She said, ultimately, this responsibility should lie within the UK government. Welfare policy should not be decided by the BBC, and I strongly urge you to recognise the responsibility your government has to our older population and fully fund free licences for over 75. In a joint statement released on Monday, the BBC's chairman, Sir David Clementi, and Director General Tony Hall said continuing the government schemes would have had a severe impact on services, and the new model represents the fairest possible outcome. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn tweeted that pensioners had spent their lives contributing to society, so providing over 75s with free TV licences is not too much to ask. Wright told the House of Commons on Tuesday it was the job of all in Parliament to make sure the take-up of pension credit was promoted. Commenting on the funding agreement that prompted the decision, he told MPs, "This was a fair deal for the BBC. I firmly believe that the BBC can and should do more to support older people, and I'm now looking to them to make clear exactly how they will do that," he added. Labour Deputy Leader Tom Watson said the government had breathtaking gall to blame the BBC for this mess. This article is written by the National News Desk.
The National, 14th of June 2019. Letters. Free public transport is the answer to several problems. The Scottish Parliament has the power to take ScotRail, CalMac and the national and local bus companies into public ownership. We should use these powers to provide free public transport for all. This would radically reduce CO2 emissions and congestion, free people from rip-off fares and toxic pollution, end private profiteering in public services, evaluate pressures on the NHS for reduced road accidents and increased air quality, and give people a sustainable and affordable travel option. We are all aware of the important issue of the impending climate catastrophe and its causes and impacts. We have inherited this problem from profiteering corporations and short-sighted governments. We need initiative and radical solutions for you to change this narrative. The ScotRail franchise could be returned to public hands when it comes into renewal in 2020 at zero cost. The public network could be streamlined in areas where multiple bus companies are scrapping it out for busy routes, and expanded in areas where provision is poor to non-existent, thus breathtaking life back into standard communities. The SSP have supported and been campaigning for free public transport for over 12 years, as its mitigation to climate change that benefits the lives of working class people, instead of blaming them for the destructive action of others. Written by Dougie Grant.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of The National. This weekly Talking Newspaper Digest was a Q&Review recording service production. The readers were volunteers at Q&Review, and the producer was Jordan Duncan. Q&Review Recording Service Limited is a registered Scottish charity. Number SC018016. Our registered office is at 18 Crowhill Road, Bishop Briggs, Glasgow, G641QY. Remember, you can always get in contact with us by email at information@qandreview.com or by leaving us a message on our answering service at 0141 772 3976.